Over the next 3 weeks, we are going to be talking about the mission statement of Community Church. This is actually a joint sermon series with both of our campuses, Shreveport and North Point. And we're going to be talking about the mission statement of our church. And if you've been here before, you know that our mission here in North Bossier and in Shreveport is to create Christ-centered, culture-changing community. To create Christ-centered, culture-changing community. And we do that through three things. You saw them out on the banners on your way in. Through connecting, through connect, through grow, and through impact. And we're going to go through those three things over the next 3 weeks. Why don't you just say that with me? Connect, grow, impact. Connect, grow, impact. Connect, grow, impact. You know, sometimes if somebody asks you, hey, what is that church over there all about? What are they doing? What is their purpose? You can tell them, well, you know what? We're creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community, and we're doing that through our strategy, which is to connect, to grow, and to impact. So you have a nice little pat answer. Wasn't that nice of us to put that together? But, you know, the thing is that this is a process that you can use in every area of your life. Because we know a lot of you are military, some of you are with the energy companies, other of you, life is just going to take you here and there. And it would be silly for us to teach a mission statement that was only applicable to this house. But we know that this process is something that you can take into every area of your life. And whether you move across the globe or across the street, it's something that can impact you. All right, today we are talking about connection. Please turn with me to John 15. Verses 1 through 8. Right now, Philip would like me to remind you that you can go to the YouVersion app and you can click something about live, and then there's something else that happens. And that's great. And so if you know how to do that, that's wonderful. And if not, find Gabe after church. He knows all things technical. I do not. You don't want to talk to me about anything technical. All right, John 15, verses 1 through 8. Are you there? All right, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they'll produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them, they will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. You know, there's nothing more fun than watching somebody fall in love, is there? Especially if you can catch them in that little bit of time before they know they're falling in love. You know, when they laugh at everything the other person says, when they stare just a little bit too long, when they wear 5 different hairstyles 5 different days in a row just because they know that person's going to show up. You know, it's adorable to watch that little spark, that little connection. And that's what we say, right? Well, he and I, we just had this connection. But, you know, for me, it's even more fun to watch somebody who's been married for a really, really long time because they remember each other's keys, finish each other's sentences, gripe about habits that nobody else even notices, and have jokes that really should be the new level of encryption for the internet. I mean, it's just impossible to penetrate their connection. And here we see in this verse in the Bible, Jesus is talking about that kind of dependent relationship. He's saying, I am the vine and you are the branches. Now, if you've been around me very long, you know that I don't have a green thumb, but I want one. So I am a bad gardener. I am a gardener, but I am a bad gardener. And I learn really elementary things over and over and again. For example, I've recently learned that you need to water your garden if you don't want it to die. But something I learned is that if you kill the vine when you're trying to, do the cucumber plants, it doesn't matter how beautiful that branch looks. At the moment that vine dies, at the moment that branch is severed from the vine, it's dead. It's done. It's kaput. No more cucumbers for you. It is completely over. And, the thing is that we find our life as Christians from our connection to God. But unfortunately, some Christians think that they're the vine. They think they're the vine, and they think God's one of their branches. You get your degree, you get the nice wife, you have the nice house, and you go to church so that you'll look respectable in the community. And it's kind of half fire insurance and half divine might possibly give me an edge in that business deal, But that's not the way that God created our relationship to work. He created us to be a branch off of his vine, for him to be the source of life and of power in everything we do in life. We weren't meant to have God fruit and then over here business fruit and family fruit and all of these different things. We were meant to have everything in our life flow from a deep and a wonderful relationship with God. Now, around here, we don't have a lot of weather, kind of in the old-fashioned sense, right? I mean, we don't have a lot of snow. It doesn't snow often. It doesn't hail often. It doesn't sleet often. It doesn't freeze often. But when it does, has anybody noticed that it has the same effect because of our unpreparedness as a 2-week blizzard in Chicago? Like, everything shuts down. Your grandmother calls you and it's like, don't leave the house. The roads are hazardous, And I'm just telling you, I don't know what it is. I don't know why. It doesn't matter where I move. But when there is bad weather, my power goes out. I'm telling you, as a child, I thought that cold weather and electricity just couldn't coexist. Because every time it froze, my power went out in my house. Maybe you've never had that experience. Good for you. You live in a better neighborhood, apparently. But my power always went out. And it's really funny to watch somebody walk around their own house without any power on, right? Because they've got like a candle and a flashlight and they're like walking through the house. But the second they enter that room, what do? Don't they? I mean, come on, you've done it. You're all looking at me like you haven't done it. You live here. I know you've done this. So you walk into the room and you flip that switch like you really think something's going to happen. I mean, it's been out for 6 hours. Nobody's come into your house. They haven't even got the truck ready, okay? And you flip that switch and you go, oh. And you walk into the next room and you do the same thing just over and over again. And sometimes as Christians, we're the same way. We aren't connected to God, but we keep those rituals of connection. So we aren't connected. We've totally severed our connection with God. We aren't letting him be the life force in our life. We're not letting him guide our life. But we keep on flipping those switches and going, oh, I meant to fix that. Yeah, okay. I'm going to go over here. Okay. I can't. And it's not healthy. It's not the way that God intended it, because he's the vine and we're the branches and we're supposed to be connected. That life force is supposed to be flowing through us consistently. Now, I have also learned in all of my travels that there is something worse than no power, and that's inconsistent power. I have lost 2 computers, an alarm clock, and various other hair electronics to the inconsistent power in China. Okay, the first time I just didn't know you couldn't just plug it into the wall. I was about 19 and I had this cute little CD alarm clock. I was very excited. I was gonna listen to worship music every morning in my little dorm, as I learned Chinese and this whole thing. Very first morning, just awful. Smelled horrible. It blew up my CD player. Well, I became a little bit wiser, but I learned that there's nothing you can do to protect from just inconsistent power. Because the power sometimes would just kind of go off, and then all of a sudden it would surge back on, or it would surge really big, and it would just blow up my hard drive. It happened twice. It blew up my hard drive. But, sometimes in our Christian walk, it can be like that. We jump into church and we're like, I'm ready. And we sign up for 15 different things. And we're going to be busy every night of the week. And we're really connected. And then we just drop off. And we burn out. And we wonder, why doesn't this church thing really work for me? You know, I guess all that stuff they say about being connected to God, that's not really true. And the reality is that it has nothing to do with the power source. It has to do with your inconsistent connection. It has to do with you not being faithful. And so we see here in this scripture the recipe for having a consistent relationship with God, a consistent connection. Because our connection to God's what gives us the power to become, the power to produce, the power to live the life we're called to live. And this is what the scripture says. It says, those who abide in me. Everybody say abide. You probably have not had to say abide in 20 years. I mean, nobody says the word abide, right? I mean, it's kind of a strange word. Now, when I was growing up, my mother taught me every single hymn in the Pentecostal hymnal, every one of them, which, by the way, is really similar to the Baptist and the Methodist hymnal. I think that somebody had like a lock on hymnals, but I know a ton of hymns, and there was a fantastic hymn about abiding in the vine where it says, you know, I've found a new way of living. I found a new life divine. I've got the fruit of the Spirit. I'm abiding in the vine. And we would just sing that as little kids and dance around our house. I'm really serious. This is how I grew up. And, you know, we loved it. We thought it was great. But as a kid, I didn't understand, what does it mean to abide? What does it mean to abide in the vine? And really, it comes down to this. It's very difficult, very theological, very deep. So you might want to stick with me, okay? It means to stay put. So that's what abiding basically comes down to, is staying put, being attached, staying where you are. And Jesus said this, those who remain in me and I in them, they will produce much fruit. You can't help but produce fruit if you stay connected, if you abide in Christ. So if all of this Christianity thing is a little bit too much for you, or maybe you just really need to simplify it, it comes down to this. It comes down to being in an environment where you are constantly connected to God, where you build in rituals in your life, where you know that before you go to bed, you're going to pray. You know when you get up, you're going to pop open your phone and read the scripture of the day on YouVersion. You're going to put worship music in your car. You're going to do the things that are necessary to create an environment so that you can know that you're connected to God, so that you can remember that you're connected to God. You know, there's nothing in the Bible about necessarily praying over your food as a Christian before you eat, okay? I'm very sorry if I just messed up somebody's theology, but there's not, okay? However, it's a really wonderful connection ritual. It's a wonderful way of reminding yourself that God's the source of all of my power. So if I was able to make money or able to know someone who was nice enough to take me to eat, you know, I need to give him thanks for that, that he's the source of everything that is good and wonderful in my life. So, you know, the thing is that decisions really are hard for some people. Anybody have difficulty with decisions? Anybody? Oh, okay. All right, great. Well, the rest of you who don't, I have a whole bunch of them that I'd just like to put to you, and you can just tell me yes or no. I have a hard time with decisions. I don't even like to pick out what I'm wearing in the morning. I've literally found myself now standing in front of my 2-year-old with two outfits going, baby, which one should mommy wear? The bad thing is I really think she may have better taste than I do, which is just not okay. But there's a great musical called Guys and Dolls. And the main character is this woman who's been engaged for 9 years, and her husband just won't decide to marry her. And there's all kinds of wonderful songs about how she feels and how she wants him to marry her and this, that, and the other. You know, it's just hard for some people to decide. My husband is a pretty good decision maker when it came to me. He told me that he loved me and wanted to marry me on our first date. Yes, he did. But when it comes to shopping, that's a whole nother story. I remember one Christmas we walked into Wilson's Leather, which is a very, I don't like Wilson's Leather at all. It makes me very sad because every time that we walk in there, I know I'm going to be there for like 3 hours. So I just start crying. But we walked into Wilson's Leather and he sees this bag and he decides that he needs a bag because he has 15 different preaching bags at home, but he needs this bag. And so he walks in and he starts doing this, zip, unzip, zip, unzip, put it on, walk across the store. It has good heft. Okay, that's great. That's awesome. Let's get it. No, I'm not sure. Puts it back. We walk to the other end of the mall. You know what? Still thinking about that bag. So we walk back to Wilson's Leather, this horrible place that I don't like and have never gone into willingly. And he puts it back. Zip. Unzip. Zip. And I'm going, are you kidding me? Just buy the bag. I'll buy the bag. It's your Christmas present, okay? Like, seriously. No, I'm not sure if I want it. Guys, I'm not exaggerating. He visited that bag for 2 years. He visited it for 2 full years and finally decided not to buy it. I'm like, what a tease. I mean, seriously. But it takes him forever to make a decision. It takes me 20 minutes to buy anything. Anything. It doesn't matter what it is. It's going to take 20 minutes. Because if I have not bought it in 20 minutes, I have decided I can live without it. But decisions. You know, the thing that's the problem about decisions is that if you haven't made one, you feel insecure. You know? I mean, that's the whole problem with the guys and doll forever fiance is that she feels insecure. She's uncertain. And sometimes in our Christian life, we feel uncertain about our relationship with God. We feel insecure about our relationship with Jesus. And the problem is that we've been dating God and our pastor. Instead of just putting a ring on it and saying, you know what? I choose. I choose. You're my God. I'm not trying this thing out anymore. I'm not going to just come and visit you on Sundays, zip the bag, unzip the bag, and check out how it fits with my lifestyle anymore. I'm going to walk up to the counter, put some money down, and say, this is it. This is it for me. I'm going to put a ring on it. And abiding means a decision. Abiding means a decision. It means an adhesion. It means a ring. And we don't need to court God. We need to marry him. So, you're wondering, you know, with church mission statement, all of that, how does this translate into church? Well, the churchy word for abiding is show up. Show up. You know, people often will tell me, we don't need any more people just warming the pews. I completely disagree. Because I have not met very many people who can sit in church consistently and not be moved towards growing and impacting eventually. What I do see is people who just come occasionally, who don't really show up, who haven't really decided that they're committed. And then there's no effect in their life. And that's so sad. You know, it's funny how quickly people can assume that you've been somewhere forever if you just show up. Have you ever noticed that? Okay, confession time. In my freshman year of college, I got about 30 parking tickets. Now, part of that was not my fault. I got in a horrible wreck, and I pulled my car into what do you call that with the coins? The slot? Meter, yes. I pulled it into a metered parking on campus, and my car was too damaged for me to be able to drive it any further. And so I called, and I let them know, and they said, well, we're just going to keep giving you tickets until you finally tow it. And so by the end of that time, I had a ton of tickets, but I also got them all throughout the year. So I spent a lot of time in the traffic office. In fact, I almost gave the lady who was the secretary there an invitation to my wedding. We had become so close. But I saw her on basically a weekly or every other week basis my entire freshman year, going, please don't make me pay this ticket. This was completely unfair. Don't you want your car washed? Is there anything that I can do for you? So we get close to the end of the year, and the lady had become, you know, my friend, and she said, you know, I'd really love to buy you a graduation present. What are you going to do after graduation? And I said, I'm not graduating. She said, you're not graduating. What are you? Do you have to, like, one more semester? I said, no, I'm a freshman. She goes, no, there's no way. You have to be a senior, because I have never gotten to know any student this well over just such a short period of time. So just showing up every day sometimes can make you feel like you have belonged there forever. Pastor Steve Byram, who's our executive pastor at Community Church over both campuses, he started as a volunteer children's pastor. And he's been here for 28 years in the ministry. June Barnhill started by showing up and answering my dad's phone calls at his office. That's all she started to do. She's been his number one secretary for 30 years. Now, I'm not saying that if you start showing up, we are going to trap you and keep you here for the next two decades. But what I am saying is that being connected means that you show up. Hebrews 10:25 says this, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches, not that you are the branch. He intends for all of us to be connected to each other through him. So if you're going to abide, you need to join the community. So, what is a community? A community, first of all, is a place. Now, the Old Testament is an incredible book, and I can remember as a little girl just wanting to read all the stories in the Old Testament over and over and over again. But it's an archetype for our New Testament relationship with God. And if you notice, in the Old Testament, places are important to God. Places are really important to God. He chooses Jerusalem as the place that's going to be his holy city. He decides that the Israelites need to create a place where they can meet with him, with the tabernacle. He cares about places. And after Christ died, we became the sacred ground that he chose. We became the living temple of God. However, every community needs a place. Now, some of you who are clued into kind of the social science community, you know that they are all moaning about the loss of community in America, right? We don't have community anymore. Community's dead in America. And that seems really strange to me, right? I mean, we're more diverse than we've ever been. We have more people than we've ever had. We have all of these different things going on. But what they're talking about is the loss of a community center. Because used to, there were common community places. There was a marketplace, or there was a building area where everybody in the community would congregate. And because of transportation getting a lot cheaper and people being able to live further away, those community centers were destroyed. They're not talking about people's inability to connect. They're talking about the loss of a place. And why? Because community requires a place. Community requires a place. So if you're going to connect to God, you're going to abide in him, you need to pick a community, and that community needs to be associated with a place. Now, if I ask you where you live, where your abode is, which comes from abide, right? So where you abide on a daily basis, and you tell me everywhere, wherever I find myself at the moment, you are homeless. That is the end of the story. You are homeless. And sometimes that's how we can be as Christians. We float from place to place and we tell ourselves that we're in community. But you're not in community unless I can say, which community? Where are they? Where do they meet? We have to be in community. And then the second place is this. Second part of community is this: people. People. Now, if you just go to a place, just a place, you're not in community. A community of one is called a hermit, all right? It is not a real community. If you tell me that you're married and I ask you who to, and you say the whole world, you are single and in denial. You have to be committed to people. It's the same thing for church. If I ask what group of people in the body of Christ you belong to, what community you've bought into, what community you've joined, and you say the global community, you aren't connected. You're alone, because community requires people. Mean, disappointing, angry, grumpy, wonderful, inspiring people. You know, I think sometimes people avoid connecting to God on the earth, to the body of Christ, because they're afraid of what they might do. They're afraid of how they're going to hurt them. They're afraid of past experiences. But this is the truth, is that there is so much more good that comes from being connected than bad. There's so much more good. And this is the great thing, is that we serve a God who even takes the bad and he works it for good. God has a plan for you to connect to people. You know, and it's funny for us, it's a little bit easier to do in a secular setting, isn't it? I mean, when you pick your college, you can meet somebody who went to your college or was in your fraternity or whatever, and they could have been there 20 years earlier. And you're like, yeah, right, we're sisters, yeah, whatever the hand motions are, you know? And you're going, you've never met this person before, but you bought into that community. You bought into that people group, and you understand that that community wasn't just the place where you are. It was also all the people who were associated with that place. And this is the miracle, is that you can look at that and you can say, you know what? I can just choose to belong. I don't have to wait for anybody else to say I belong. I can walk in here and go, yep, this is my church. All right, these are my people. Guess I should get to know them now. All right, I'm now the new welcoming committee because this is my church. Aren't you glad that you go to my church? You know, and there really are people like that. Ashley Santos goes to this church. She is like that. I thought she had been here for like 5 or 6 years when I moved back from Baltimore. I'd been gone for about 9 years. Everywhere I went, she showed up, and she knew everybody. And so I was like, well, I need to get to know her because apparently she has been here for quite a while and is very entrenched. She had been there for 3 months. I'm not joking. She had been there for 3 months, but she had just decided, okay, well, all right, this is my church. Guess I should be the welcoming committee. Guess I should get everybody involved. You know, if you have a hard time connecting to people, if you get a little bit shy, anybody get shy? I actually get really shy. I walk into new social settings, and I grab Philip's hand like it's the vice and the connection of life, like we're going to merge into one, you know? And I'm like, I mean, that really is me. That's me at my heart, you know? I've been pushed out of my comfort zone my whole life so I can do it. But that's part of my heart. It's hard for me. So here's some tips. Ask people about their shoes. Seriously, everybody loves to talk about their shoes. I didn't know this. Philip pointed this out to me. Apparently, everybody likes to talk about their shoes. So you can be like, where did you get your shoes from? This is a great, totally good opening line. You can also ask them, did you catch the game last night? But something that's really important that I learned as I was going is that there needs to be a game last night. So you should ask somebody before you do that and say, was there a game and what sport did they play before you try that one. You can also just walk up to people and say, you know what, I'm new here. I need to be connected. Don't wait. Decide that you're going to connect to people. Choose to connect to the people in your community. And the third thing about community, the third element of community, is purpose. Now, the purpose of every community Christian in the world, okay, the purpose of every Christian community in the world is to love others, is to love the world. That is something that's common. But everybody does it just a little bit different. And since the Bible says that abiding will produce fruit, and we're going to talk more about that next week, you want to abide with people who are producing the kind of fruit that you want to produce. Now, I was going to be a lawyer in a past life, and when I was interviewing at all these different law firms, this was the thing I did. I looked for the women who'd been there for 20 years. I would find them. Where are your female partners? And I'd meet them, I'd talk to them about their lives, and I'd say, do I want to be them? in 20 years. Because this is what I knew, is if I joined that community, that's what I was going to look like in 20 to 30 years. Because that was the fruit that that environment produced. When you're choosing what church community you want to be a part of, you need to look around and say, you know what? Do I want to produce the fruit that's being produced in this house? Do I want to be like the people who are in leadership in this house? Because you have to find a place. Now, I would love for everyone to find their place at North Point. I would. I would love to wrap my arms around the world. I am the girl who, if I had been in pageants, would have said, "What's your greatest wish? World peace." That is who I am. I want everybody to be happy and loved and connected to me, okay? But I know that's not reality. But whether we're your place or down the street's your place or two cities over is your place, pick a place. Pick a place, pick a people, pick a purpose. Get into community so that you can start abiding, so that you can start flourishing, so you can start being everything that God has called you to be. And you know, different people connect in different order. It really depends on your personality. You know, some people just pick a church because of where it is. I mean, I know there are some of you who are here because it is exactly close enough to your church, to your house, so that you can get here, you can go to church, you can leave after church, and you can beat everybody to the buffet. You know, I get that. That's great. That's wonderful. Picking a church within your neighborhood, that's great. But you can't stop there. You've got to let that place lead you to people and to purpose that you're willing to commit to. Others of you, you know, I mean, I remember Mark Donahue's story. He said he ended up in our church because of a pretty girl. Works for me. Don't care. Sometimes it's the people that'll connect you to a certain community. But then you've got to decide, you know what? It's not just the people. I'm going to be connected to this place, and I'm going to be connected to this purpose. Because people sometimes can come and go. But you need to have deep, deep roots. Other people are connected to our purpose, you know? They see that we're out in the community, we're helping people, we're involved in Bossier Family Fun Day, we're collecting all kinds of different things for people who need them, and they say, you know what, I want to be a part of that. I want to be like that. I want to grow that way. Don't stop there. It's not enough for you just to buy into the purpose of the house. It's not enough for you just to buy into the purpose of the community. You've also got to connect with the people and with the place. It doesn't matter where you pick. You just need to pick, and you need to stick with it. Don't transplant every single season. My sister told me to say this. She said, you'll never find a perfect church. You never will find a perfect church. And if you do, please don't go, because you will mess it up. I know, she's kind of mean, but that's all right. But it's the truth. God wants to connect with you. God wants to be the source of everything in your life. And he wants to plant you in a community among many, many, many different branches. Will you stand with me right now? You know, today you just may not be connected with God. You know, you may find yourself switching on those switches that always had power behind them before, and you can't figure out why there's not really anything going on anymore. I've got good news for you. God's just waiting for you to connect with him. He wants to connect with you. He's waiting for you to connect, for you to put a ring on it, for you to stop dating, for you to stop showing up and seeing if this really works out, for you to stop trying to move in with him. He wants you to put a ring on it. He wants you to say, this is it. This is it for me. This is the end of the story for me. I'm done. I'm going to be committed to you, God. And you know what? I know that there's nothing that I can do. This is what I love about that picture of the vine and the branch. The vine is the important part. Isn't that amazing? I mean, the vine's the part that has the power. The vine's the part that has everything going. And the branch is connected, and the branch's job is to stay connected to the vine. It's not to suddenly become a self-generating power source. It's just to stay connected. So it doesn't matter how you feel about your life. It doesn't matter how unworthy you feel. Great. We all are. We're all dead sticks attached to something that is incredibly life-giving. That's who we are. So today, choose. Choose. Maybe you just need to choose. I'm going to be connected to God. Or maybe you've connected to God, but you've never connected to His community. You're like, you know, I just want to be over here by myself. That's not God's plan. God's plan is for you to flourish in community. You need to find a place, a people, and a purpose, and attach yourself to it with such vigor and intensity that nobody can uproot you. God's got such an incredible plan for you, but it all starts with connection.